than hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1. Hi, this is Bob Fitrakis. You're listening to the other side of the news. We're recording this as breaking news on Wednesday, January 6th. I'm here with Peter Pekarsky, an attorney, but with tremendous experience in terms of crowd coverage, former White House correspondent. Welcome to the other side of the news, Pete.
Thank you very much, Bob. Great to be here.
So as we record this as breaking news, the listeners will hear it on Friday or Monday, but this Wednesday, and it's ongoing as we speak, I mean, the Trump rebellion, I mean, Shay's rebellion, the whiskey rebellion, I don't know what else to call it, but almost an attempted coup where a co-equal branch of government was attacked by Trump supporters after the president, after he addressed them and urged them to take action. What do you make of this?
What I make of it is it's a very unhealthy situation. This is not good for our government, for our people, for our country, or for our democracy. I guess to be fair, we should mention, I mean, we're talking about this at 7 o'clock at night. What he said was, at least the tape I saw, was something like walk up to Capitol Hill. But when you listen to some of the other stuff he said, you know, there's a reasonable question as to what he intended for all of those people to do. And it may be that they felt that he was urging them to do exactly what they did. There was a press conference held an hour or two ago by the mayor of Washington, D.C., Mayor Bowser, chief of police, secretary of the army was there. And the chief of police of Washington, D.C., thought that the mood of the crowd changed for some reason, that is, they walked from the ellipse, which is just south of the White House, between the White House and Constitution Avenue, and south of that, the Washington Monument, and it's about 16th Street. And when they got down to about, I don't know, 2nd or 3rd in Pennsylvania, the mood of the crowd changed, according to the chief of police. I guess it turned rowdy. They pushed through police lines and some inadequate fence lines up at the Capitol, and ended up, from the pictures I saw, breaking some windows and in one way or another getting into the building. The windows they broke gave them access into the Capitol building, which was unauthorized, not supposed to be happening. It was almost real close to predictable, given what's been going on for the last several weeks. And
well, let's follow up on that. Why do you say it was easy to predict or predictable?
Because the crowd was, ever since the election, actually, I shouldn't say ever since the election, for a very long time, perhaps going back to when he started down the elevator in June or July of 2015, Donald Trump has been attacking various parts of our society, various elements of our government, which lead to stability in the society and provide for the rule of law. He has called into question the courts. He's called into question the newspapers. He's called into question a number of things and acted in a manner not in accord with the norms that American society has recognized for a very long time. And he's continued to do this. I mean, I'm in the course of this conversation here, we don't have time to go through everything that's happened for the last five and a half years. But that continued. It continued this year in the run-up to the election, and it continued after the election. There were a whole bundle of cases brought. I've read the pleadings in a number of those cases, and it almost seems difficult. I also do, as I mentioned, am a lawyer, have experience in this area. It seems difficult to think that any reasonable lawyer would think that they had a legitimate case to present, given the affidavits and other things offered and what was said in the pleadings. So it was a very unusual, non-normative things to do, and it didn't appear to have any backup. It was not in accord with U.S. law. It was an attack on what's going on, and there's been a continual drumbeat of how he thinks something was wrong, continual drumbeat with no proof of how he thinks something is wrong with the law and the way the whole election system operated. He called into question the way the 2016 election was handled ahead of time, and given the unadjusted exit polls there, it looked like somebody could have rigged that election in his favor. This time it didn't look that way. The unadjusted exit polls indicate there were no shifts in the seven battleground states we watched outside the margin of error, which changed the outcome in any way. But he has been attacking the election, the way it's been conducted. He's been saying it's going to be rigged for months, long before November 3 of this year. He's continued to do it afterwards with one claim after another. And these are very tenuous claims. So there's an attack on the judiciary. There's an attack on the press. There's an attack on all kinds of things. There was an attack over the last few days on his own vice president. I mean, a verbal attack. So all of this is happening. It's not usual. It's totally outside the norm.
Okay.
I hope that answers that part of your
Senator
question.
Senator Mitch McConnell distanced himself prior to the storming of the Capitol by Trump supporters and even referred to, conspiracy theories that the president was embracing when it came to the election.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch McConnell has supported, Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, has supported Donald Trump for a long time, for a very long time. Has done what he wanted done in general. And what Trump wanted done here, that is essentially to throw out the Constitution and to throw out the will of the American people and the way they cast their votes, was too much for Senator McConnell to stomach, and he made that clear when he spoke to the Senate earlier on Wednesday.
Yeah, to be clear to the listeners, I mean, he wanted the vice president, the presiding officer of the Senate, to essentially, he wanted Trump wanted Pence to essentially reject what appeared to be lawfully created and voted for electors.
That's right. He wanted essentially, well, he wanted Pence to ignore the law. He wanted him to act in a manner other than that required by the law and the U.S. Constitution. And the net result of that was going to be that the legitimate votes of a lot of people in this country were going to be thrown out. Whether it's 80 million votes or 160 million votes, he wanted those votes thrown out. And he wanted Mike Pence to decide who the president was going to be. But that's not the way our Constitution is set up. That's not the way our government runs. This is government of the people, by the people, for the people. It is up to the people to decide who the president is going to be, and they did. And their decision was it's going to be Joe Biden in 14 days. That is on January 20th. And Trump does not like that, and he's done whatever he can to undercut it. And he suggested another way. Apparently, he had lunch with Vice President Pence yesterday to suggest this to him, which is not to say he hasn't suggested it earlier. And Vice President Pence wrote a letter to the Congress today, it was either today or yesterday, pointing out that he does, in Pence's view, he does not have the authority to do that which Trump asked him to do, and he's not going to do it.
Yeah, that was one of the first things he did. They caught him off camera before he was presiding over the Senate, and he asked an aide, you know, has my statement been released?
Right. So he wanted everybody to know that he took an oath of office and he was going to abide by that. Is Pence wanted everybody to know he took an oath of office and he was going to abide by it.
And an hour or so later, he's being removed for security reasons from the U.S. Senate as his president, the one he serves as vice president, supporters storm the Capitol building.
That's what happened.
I mean, how is that possible? I mean, there were tens of thousands of these Trump supporters out there. I know you and I have talked about this. We anticipated there might have been some direct action and some violence taken, particularly after the rhetoric, the post-election rhetoric on the thievery.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible because Donald Trump or whoever is directing Donald Trump has been setting this up for a long time. It's been one thing after another. Today was what is so far the culmination of it. It's not necessarily the end of it. There are somewhat under 14 days to go. at which he, during which time, if no change is made pursuant to the Constitution, like, for example, the 25th Amendment, Donald Trump having, one could say, it looks like encouraged a violent attack on the lawful processes of the United States Congress today, an unlawful attack on the processes of the United States Congress today and the U.S. Constitution, is going to retain all the power he has right now. That is, unless something is done in accord with our Constitution to stop that.
Well, let me ask you, it seemed almost too easy. How in the hell do you get in and essentially capture the Capitol? I mean, it's really unprecedented in domestic American politics. I mean, where?
Go ahead.
Where in the hell were they?
It certainly is. Let me make it clear. I think the constitutional provision I'm talking about is the 25th Amendment. We can talk about that later. I have a very good question. I've covered a lot of demonstrations in Washington. What happened there, that is people stopping a session, a joint session of Congress, or even a session of one house has never happened. There was many years ago, there was a gunman or two, I think, got into either the House or the Senate and I think shot some people, but that was...
That was after World War II, right? Puerto Rican nationalists?
Yeah, it was shortly after World War II. I think right around the same time, and it may have been the same day, I'd have to check the timing. President Truman was at the time in residence at Blair House across from the White House, and somebody took a shot, I think, at him and may have killed one of the Secret Service guards outside right around the same time. But that didn't stop. I mean, it may have stopped for a short period of time, the functioning of Congress, but it was nowhere close to a joint session of Congress to count the electoral votes. And that was not a big group. It wasn't hundreds or thousands of people pushing their way into the Capitol and through the Capitol and into the chambers. It was one or two people
smashing windows, climbing in with backpacks.
Right. That didn't happen. There was one or two people, as I recall, you'd have to check the records, in the gallery, which is an entirely, shouldn't have happened. It's a tragedy. I think there were, as I recall, one of the Secret Service guards, unfortunately and tragically, did die that day, but that was at Blair House. But nevertheless, shouldn't have happened. But what we're talking about, what we saw today, this country has never seen. Even in World War II, there was no interference with Abraham Lincoln being inaugurated. The electoral votes were counted, he was inaugurated, and then the Confederacy left. But there was nothing like what went on today. You're right. It is, as far as I know, unprecedented in our country's history. And it's a really sad and very unfortunate day for that reason. And hopefully this will be brought under control and not continue.
Does the president have to go? I want to remind our listeners we're recording this on Wednesday, January 6th, just after the storming of the Capitol by the Trump supporters. You're listening to The Other Side of the News. I'm Bob Fitrakis, and my guest is Pete Bakarsky, an attorney as well as a former White House correspondent who has covered many rallies. This is WGRN 94.1 FM.
The question is, good question. That's the American people have made that decision, and the decision they have made as of right now is that at noon on January 20th, he will have to go, and he's going. The issue is whether the vice president and the cabinet will allow him to stay in office from now until noon on January 20th, whether they want to take that risk with our country and with our democracy. There are provisions, and that may be why the president has been attacking Vice President Pence for the last several days, to put some kind of pressure on him of some type to refrain from participating or giving consideration to any such venture, because the 25th Amendment requires the vice president and a majority of the cabinet to agree and transmit the appropriate notice that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. And one of the duties, arguably, is his duty to abide by the United States Constitution. As a condition precedent to being allowed to be president in the first place, he had to promise to preserve, protect, and defend the United States Constitution. And arguably, what went on today is a violation of his, flat-out violation of his oath of office, in addition to any other, many other violations which may have occurred, but in particular, this one today. What they're going to do about it remains to be seen. I mean, it seems unlikely, but one would think that it is possible that the vice president and the cabinet are giving this some thought tonight. That is Wednesday night. And that is really sad, with 14 days to go, to think that it is a risk to allow him to stay in office, but it certainly is.
Is he guilty of anything? Is he guilty of any crimes?
Good question. That would take, I think, some detailed analysis. I don't want to get into doing a whole lot of legal research on the air here in the short amount of time we have. There is a question, I think. I guess the first issue is, has there been a crime? And the second is, what's going to be done about it? But what you're asking is, has there been a crime? I suppose one place one could look, aside from looking at whatever laws exist in D.C. about provoking people to do whatever they did today at the Capitol.
So, is there again, a case
I haven't done the legal research. Well, there's that, but there's also the matter of Title 18, United States Code, Section 2384, which says it's titled Seditious Conspiracy, and provides that if two or more people conspire to oppose, let me get this straight, to oppose, to delay, I'm omitting lots of it, but just to strip it down to its essentials, to conspire to overthrow, put down, or destroy by force the government, or delay, or by force, two or more people by force conspire to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States, their criminal penalties. Arguably, one could argue that's what happened today. There was a law, they were trying to conduct matters in accord with a law of the United States, specifically Title 3, Sections 1 through 29 about the counting, 1 through 21, about the counting, sometimes called the Electoral Count Act, about the counting of electoral votes. And it seems clear that there was a delay in the execution of that law today. Now, what is going to be done about it? Again, the legal research would have to be done, and the next administration will have to decide what, if anything, they want to do about it. That may be a long-winded answer, but I think that as well as whatever incitement happened, may be a place which the inquiry has to start.
Anything may happen between now and when this recording will be aired. We're recording it on Wednesday at 7 p.m. January 6th, right after the Trump rioters stormed the Capitol. Now, it sounds like there was almost a conspiracy element. Did you say two or more people had to be involved?
Yeah, it did. I mean, you know, the question is, is it Trump and any of those people who forced their way into the Capitol today? You know, that's something you'd have to inquire into and approve. And I'm not here suggesting the proof, but that's an inquiry which one would expect would be made. You know, I mean, I'm sure
Should they look into how easy it was to get in? Like, they breached four levels of security, but one looked like a 3-foot fence or bike.
That's a separate issue.
I mean, somebody got in Pelosi's office. I mean, how in the hell? Someone sitting in the chair, of Michael Pence. You know, how in the hell did this? I mean, surely people are going to wonder whether there was an inside job, whether they had some friends up there.
It is not clear. I would expect. I'm not. At least based on what we know now, as of 7:30 on the evening of Wednesday, January 6th, I'm not suggesting that, but I expect that.
But
that
it needs to be looked into, right?
Yeah. I would expect there will be a full inquiry into what happened. That is, after we take the Capitol, conduct the count of the electoral votes, inaugurate a new president, I would expect that the Congress itself will undertake a full inquiry as to how this happened, because it is, in my view, it is the responsibility of the Congress as a separate branch, separate and co-equal branch of the government, to make sure that the security of that building and the security of each and every member of the Congress and the Senate and the House and their staffs is protected. I would, thank goodness, it seems like we've heard no indication that any member of the House or Senate has been harmed. And I hope that continues to be the case. But I would expect there would, and I think it would be a very good idea for serious consideration being given to a very thorough inquiry as to exactly how this happened today, how it was allowed to happen, how the planning was done, how this came to pass. You're quite right. I fully agree with you. There should be an inquiry, and I expect there will be an inquiry. That's not going to happen in the next day or two. But I would expect, once the inauguration is over, there will be an inquiry. It may even start before then, but I would expect there will be a full inquiry into this matter.
Well, it does cause one to wonder. It was like a bad Hollywood movie, right? The White House down, the Capitol, conquered. It really seems totally implausible that no one anticipated, Trump's followers taking action. I mean, this is the president who said there were good people on both sides at Charlottesville when white supremacists attacked violently and somebody ended up dead.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, who was responsible for making sure that the building was secure? Who was responsible for protecting the security of each and every member in that building, in particular, the representatives of the people who run this government? This is government of the people, by the people, for the people. And one of their critical responsibilities is to make sure of the physical security and safety of every one of those members. That didn't look like it was happening today. And how that came to pass is something somebody ought to look at and surely take care of and try to protect and bolster and ensure before the Congress meets again. And my understanding is there was some talk about a meeting going on Wednesday night, and by law, any recess is only supposed to last until 10 o'clock on Thursday morning, January 7th. Pursuant to the terms of the Electoral Count Act. We were talking about sections, Title 3, Sections 1 through 21.
All right, well, we don't have time to go into that. Any last thoughts for our listeners in the last minute here?
Yeah, I think our listeners have got to decide that this is government of the people, by the people, for the people. And they've got to ask their representatives, the people they send to Congress, to inquire into this and see what happened. See, both with respect to today and to inquire into each and every time over the course of the last 4 or 5 years that it looks like Donald Trump or somebody encouraged by him has violated United States law or any other law. This is our government. This is a government of the people, it's all of us. And it's time for the people to tell the representatives, the people we elect and put in those positions, that it is time for them to do their job and figure out what happened here and what they're going to do to make sure that nothing like this happens again. I've got a lot of other thoughts, but in short, as of this hour on Wednesday evening, those are my thoughts.
Well, thanks a lot, Pete Pekarsky, an attorney, former
White House Bob.
Correspondent.
You're welcome, Bob. Thank you very much. Be well. Have a good evening.
You too. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.